In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 10 through 17 this morning, we hear, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all be speaking the same thing, and that schisms may not be among you, but that you be perfected together in the same mind and in the same sentiment. For it was declared to me according you, my brethren, that there are strifes among you, that each of you says, I indeed am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Has the Christ been divided? Paul was not crucified for you, was he? Or in the name of Paul were you baptized? For Christ sent me not forth to baptize, but to be preaching the gospel, not in wisdom of speech, lest the cross of Christ should be made empty." Relevant words for us Orthodox to hear in this modern world. Schisms seem to be the unfortunate mode of fashion for our Orthodox world these past two centuries. One heartbreaking event after another. We also have the schisms with the old and new calendars as to which one is more orthodox. We have divisions in this country over jurisdictions and which tradition is more orthodox than the other. And divisions and arguments over what rite, Eastern or Western, is more orthodox. Then we have the name-calling and blaming between the so-called cradle Orthodox and the so-called convert categories. And by the cross of Christ, which to us who is being saved, which is the power of God, verse 18, we can ask ourselves how well we are embodying locally the reality of one church and three vocations. These are powerful words the apostle is laying before us, pleading with us to freely choose the one true path. And this path is that we be perfected together in the same mind and in the same sentiment. Perfected together. Ask any Orthodox couple who have been married for 40 years or more if they have everything figured out. That there are no more letdowns, no more bumps in the road. And the answer will be no. But we keep working toward that goal. St. Paul wrote in Ephesians 5 that a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall be into one flesh. This mystery is great, he says, but I speak in regard to Christ and in regard to the church. In baptism, we leave our father and mother, the world, and the passions, and we are to cleave to the church and become one flesh, which is the body of Christ. And just like in marriage between a man and a woman, the church must learn and struggle to be perfected together. In both regards, this does not happen by committing an hour a week to the relationship. Which brings us to the hard question that all of us, regardless of age or station in life, must repeatedly ask ourselves. Why do we live? For what reason was I given life? I remember when I was 18 and started hanging around evangelical groups. These people were obsessed with wanting to know what God's will was for their lives. To me, the answer was clear, and I followed that truth all the way into the Orthodox Church some years later. The Lord answers the question, why do we live, for us in the Gospel of John. He says, that we may know the Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom he sent forth. And this is eternal life. In the same mind and in the same sentiment, which is the mind of Christ, we are to be perfected together. And the answer to why we live is to know the Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom he sent forth. This, brothers and sisters, is love and joy. And this is reality we are to cultivate together. St. Ignatius the God-bearer says in one of his letters to Christians, "All of you, therefore, having received the same ethos as God, respect one another, and let no one look upon his neighbor after the flesh, but love one another continually in Jesus Christ." Metropolitan Eretheos in Greece says, "Here the same ethos means the Christocentric way of thinking and life in Christ." By the way, do you remember in the Gospel when Jesus picked up a small child and placed them on his lap and said, "Do not hinder the little children to come unto me"? That little child grew up to be St. Ignatius the God-bearer. And this God-bearer is telling us that we have received the same ethos as God. Perhaps one of the hardest things we have to admit to ourselves and confess before God is that we do not love Him as we think we do. We have been given the same ethos as God. Christocentric way of thinking and life. But we are not fully living it. St. Seraph from Asarov said, "Acquire the Holy Spirit, and thousands around you will be saved." And thousands were saved because he indeed did acquire the Holy Spirit, have the same ethos in God as God in Jesus Christ. If we were to fully live the ethos of God, all of Shreveport and Bossier would be saved. We are not there yet, but through Christ, all things are possible. In our marriage to Christ, we are to put off the world and the passions and live faithfully in Him so that the all-holy Trinity may abide in us. We are to have the same sentiment. By uniting ourselves to Christ in the mystery of holy baptism, either as an adult or as a godparent to a child, we agree unto God and to the one body we are becoming one flesh with, that we will uphold to live the ethos of God. The same mind and the same sentiment. Does this happen overnight? No, it does not. In fact, this is why we continue to pray for God's mercy on those who have reposed, that God might forgive them their transgressions and grant them a place in His kingdom. And why we ask the prayers of the saints, those whom God has revealed as intercessors for us before His throne, that all of us might be perfected together. Eternal life begins in baptism and never ends for those who hope in and love God. So why is it so hard to fully live the ethos of God? To become truly free, to become a true person, and authentically be one church in three locations. Why is it so hard to make every business decision with the mind of Christ? Why is it so difficult to stand up and speak out in love against perversions and or not take part in the perversions of the world? Why is it so difficult to be in school or in public and cross yourself and your food in front of others? Why is it difficult to pray for someone and smile instead of yelling or judging them? The why is because we often forget why we live. Instead of knowing the Father, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom He sent, we set up divisions and schisms, erecting idols enshrined in our own egos. We fight against flesh and blood, forgetting that our struggle is not against each other, but against principalities, against the powers, against the cosmic rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of evil on account of the heavenly things, as St. Paul instructs us in Ephesians. We absolutely must remind ourselves and each other that in order to stand against the devil and his fallen angels, we have to be equipped and engage in an epic battle. At the making of the catechumen, Father Daniel tells the catechumen, "You have spat on the devil and his works. You have picked a fight with him. You must now run to the church for protection. run to the church to learn how to be equipped and how to fight to your very last breath an epic battle. Why do we not fully live the ethos of God? Because as soon as we turn toward God, a battalion of demons charge at us and beat us up because we are often without the armor of God. So we retreat until our hearts and our minds stir once again towards God, and again we get knocked down. When we feel defeated, when we ask the question, why do I always have to confess the same thing and feel so guilty about it? It is because we have not chosen to willfully equip ourselves in the armor of God and make it our mission to fully live the ethos of God. This is difficult and hard to do at times, but nevertheless, it is our struggle to do. For this cause, St. Paul says in Ephesians 6, take up the full armor of God in order that you might be able to withstand in the day, and having counteracted all things, to stand. Stand therefore, having girt your loins with truth, and having put on for yourselves the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet in readiness of the gospel of peace. On the whole, take up the shield of faith, with which ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, by means of every prayer and entreaty, praying in every season in the Spirit, and being vigilant toward the same thing with all perseverance and entreaty for all the saints. Having been given the same ethos as God, to be perfected together in the same mind and the same sentiment, this is how we are to stand. This is how we are to proclaim the how and the why we live. But, as we have already said, this does not happen overnight. So God, in His abundant love for us, has provided us with such amazing grace to be healed and nurtured from our wounds. The grace to find the strength to stand again and again, and the courage to keep on fighting. This amazing grace is confession and the Holy Eucharist. There's an old Protestant hymn called Amazing Grace. Its lyrics are, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come. 'Twas grace that brought us safe thus far, and grace will lead us home. The profound beauty of confession and the Eucharist, this amazing grace, is in realizing that we are epic failures at loving God and living His ethos. Yet regardless the trillion times we turn from God's love, He loves and forgives us. He embraces us with His tender love and the mystery of the Holy Eucharist. But just as a person cannot remain hydrated without regularly taking water, a person cannot acquire the Holy Spirit without regularly confessing. Without regular confession, a person cannot truly taste and see this amazing grace, for they remain blind and lost in the sea of their passions and of the world. Let us commend ourselves and each other unto Christ, and have the joy of our Lord made full in us. Beloved, let us fully live the ethos of God, being perfected together in the same mind and the same sentiment in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.